Hey everyone, welcome to the JV Podcast, episode 1. I am your host, Leah, and...
I am Zoe.
And today, we're going to be discussing, you know, something that's been in the forefront of my mind recently, because, you know, those TV shows that, like, they take, like, a really long time to get season through season, like, the Avatar movies took, like, 15 years to get the next one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the vibe? Well... Stranger Things is coming back soon, and I don't know about you, but I'm a big Stranger Things fan. I'm definitely not a super fan.
Yeah, me neither. It's still really good.
A great series, and it's coming up. It's getting close. It's 2025, you know, we're getting there. We're very close. So we thought that we'd just do kind of like a mini recap slash our opinions about the seasons, and then, yeah.
See where it takes us.
See where it takes us. But first.
Yeah, before we get into it, let's start with a little bit.
We're going to do a little introduction of ourselves. And we're going to do that in the form of asking some pretty crazy questions. So, story behind these questions, real quick. I wrote these questions, and I'm going to ask them to Zoe. Since we don't have a following yet, because this is our episode 1, I had to write the questions. So I feel like it's a little narcissistic of me to answer my own questions, but what can a girl do? I'm just a girl. Anyways, okay. If you were a fruit, which fruit would you be and why?
Let me think about it. Like, so if I was a fruit, a very sweet person, but you know, there's a little edge. You get to know me. There's a little spice. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if fruit that's like
spicy. There definitely is when you make fun of our, we're associated. Affiliated with the Varsity newspaper. Go check out their socials, by the way. We'll plug them somewhere. We're affiliated with the Varsity, right? And we have kind of like a boss, sort of. I call him our boss.
Definitely not our boss.
But our boss, someone over here, tends to poke fun at our boss.
He does it first, okay? It's not just me. This is a back and forth interaction. Okay, anyways. Okay. If I was a fruit, I think I'd be... like a raspberry.
I agree. Because, like, you never... Well, here's why I agree. Sometimes you get, like, the really sweet ones, and then sometimes you get, like, the tart ones where you feel like you want to shrivel up into a ball.
Oh.
So yeah. I feel like that's kind of like you. It's like sometimes you're, like, this sweet little thing, and then the other times, you know, other times some different things. To answer my own question, because that's what we're doing today, if I could be a fruit, I'd be a blueberry.
Yeah?
A same reason, because number one, I love blueberries. But number two, blueberries, they're never, like, the same. You eat one blueberry, it's never going to be the same as the next one.
Would you be a Maine blueberry, or would you be, like, a store blueberry? Because Maine blueberries are, like, smaller, and they taste a little different.
I'm going to go with the store blueberry.
Store-bought blueberry?
Yes.
On sale blueberry?
I am not a homegrown blueberry, okay? I am a store-bought blueberry, and here's why. So here's the thing with blueberries. When you eat them, like, one blueberry is never going to be the same as the next. And honestly, that's kind of, like, my emotional state throughout the day. I am just a little cray. You know what I mean? Like, I can go from being crazy energetic to what chill, is the point of life, to chill, to mundane, etc. So, like, your girly is never the same. And so I feel like a blueberry really truly represents that state. What I mean?
Yeah. Okay. There's a little variety. I have one more question. Your fruit.
That's my fruit.
What would your candy be? Personally, I think you're definitely Jolly Rancher vibe.
My candy? I hate Jolly Ranchers. I know.
You totally do, though. I can see it.
Okay, but here's my controversial opinion. And this is going to get really heated, I have a feeling, because people are really weird about this subject. I honestly feel like I'm candy corn. And I also like candy corn. I like candy corn. Yeah. Because I feel like candy corn, here's the thing about candy corn. When you get down to the root of it, it's very simple. You know, it's just like kind of a sugary, simple candy. But on the outside, It's very complex and colorful. It's got a lot going on there. You know, it's got the whites, it's got the orange, it's got the yellow. It's got the best of all
it's
worlds.
It's got like the unique like triangle shape, you know. Yeah. It's got, yeah,
it's,
I can
you know,
see it.
What I mean, it's complex. Just like a very it's a very unique and it's also like a candy that like it's very controversial and it's like it's kind of the outcast of the candies. And like sometimes I feel like that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what candy I would be personally. Now, what candy would you be?
A very, like, rich candy? Like, you know, in flavor?
Like, 100 grand?
I don't know what that is.
You've never had 100 grand?
We'll get to that later. You know what? I kind of love those grandma candies. Like, butterscotch.
The grandma? Okay,
I
yeah.
I just feel like, you know, I just love a homey,
I feel like you're
you know,
also
vibe.
Give off, like... I'm
homey
like
vibes.
Homey grandma.
Cozy.
Like I'm a future coastal grandma. Trust.
I am. I'm
you
coastal.
Are a future.
I live on the coast.
You literally are a future coastal grandma.
I'm a coastal granddaughter, actually. But yes.
You're a future coastal grandma.
Coastal, you know, that good butterscotchy flavor.
Yeah.
It just
like,
tastes like you're at home, you're sitting by the fire.
I have
you
to
know?
Agree. I would have to agree.
And it's a candy that takes a long time to eat, so it's like, you know, you're savoring the moment. That's just what I feel.
I would have to agree. I have our final question, and then we're going to get into the main topic. This is also a very controversial question, and I was thinking last night, you know what? We're going to do a quick backstory. I was thinking about making questions this like last night, and I was like at a loss, honestly. I didn't know what I was going to do. And then randomly, I like looked at my computer screen, and I was like, what if I did like... light or dark mode. So the question is, on your phone or any device, or sometimes people do different ones for different devices, those are the craziest people. Do you use dark mode or light mode and why? Like give your like argument of this is why this one's the best.
I am a dark mode user.
I have a question for you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use dark mode on Word or like Google Docs?
I don't know how to do that. So it's just light mode.
Okay, do you want to do that?
No, because my computer is actually, like, crazy and it, like, barely works. So, I always have it on dark mode. I always have it on light mode so I can turn the darkness down because it dies. Like, the battery drains really quick.
Oh.
If I have, like, more than 5 tabs open, my computer is dead by the end of class. So, I have it on dark
That's
setting
crazy.
Like the dark like brightness setting was down low and then the light mode so I can see it better.
Got
I just
you.
Like it on the computer. I like it more because you know you're more awake. I don't know. I just like that better, especially if you're like last minute assignments that may or may not happen at 1:14 a.m. in the morning.
I can't judge. I've stayed up till too many nights to count now.
1:14.
Don't follow our example, people watching. It's not smart.
But yeah, I'm a dark mode user. Sometimes I'll be awake at night. Little late. So if you're scrolling or whatever and you're doing something on your phone and it's in light mode, like I don't want to be looking at that in the
real
light.
That
like,
you make good points there.
No, I
okay
don't that
so
happening.
You're like a both person, like you have light
yeah,
mode
for work, light mode,
okay,
but for
like just like outside of work, like normal day to day,
outside of school work,
dark mode.
Yeah,
okay. I disagree. I am a light mode girly through and through. And here's the funny thing. My dad is a dark mode person. So it's very weird.
Wait, why? Why are you light mode?
I am a light mode because I genuinely feel like I actually have 20/20 vision, but I feel like I'm blind.
You have 20/20 vision?
Yeah.
I don't.
Oh,
I certainly don't.
I have 20/20 vision, but I believe... Well, what's your vision?
So
context, yeah, there's a sign over there that says stuff.
And it's very small print to me. What?
Sorry, somebody just like literally like I hate it when people glance over at me when I'm trying to do something. It like literally actually makes that's so mean.
No,
wait.
You know what though? Like
that's actually so mean.
I hate walking into class late.
That's so real.
It's so embarrassing. It's literally
wait.
It's worse than the walk of shame. It is.
It genuinely is.
It is a walk of shame. And
it's,
more.
Oh my god, it's so bad. And then, you know, oh my god, this is my worst.
And it's like, especially if it's
no,
like a work.
No. This is the worst thing. When you show up to school, actually you're a senior now, you don't really have to worry about this. Unless you're, are you in any musics or no?
No.
Okay, well this is what happened to me one time. Real quick story time and then we're gonna
well,
get
actually,
into
no,
the
no,
main.
I'm in chorus. So like if I were to walk in like Everyone's on the, so everyone is like on the risers.
Yeah, the risers.
So like they're all doing their stuff, holding their music, whatever.
Okay.
So like I'm walking in late.
Yeah.
And then
everybody
like
looks
it's because it's like silent. If they're just like practicing or like before, so they're all sitting in their seats.
Got
and then you walk
okay.
in. And then immediately, because I have like the loud clickety clacky shoes.
Oh god.
So it's like
very clickety clickety. Oh my god.
Well, at least the heels I'm wearing.
Oh.
The pumps.
Okay. Well, okay. Here's one something that happened to me one time. I participate in my music wind ensemble of my school, the music wind ensemble, aka band. It's for like woodwinds, like flutes, brass, percussion, etc. I'm percussion for that's not really important here. Anyways, one time I got to the band room, like, so school for us, or at least, yeah, for us, but you can come late because you're a senior sometimes.
Yeah, I wish I had a free, because then I could come in at 10 if it, like, yeah. lined up.
Anyway. But anyways, so we start at 8 o'clock, and music start at 8 o'clock, so if you're into music, it's going to start at 8 o'clock, same with study halls, we have morning study halls too. It's either a morning study hall or a music in the mornings. But anyways, music starts at 8 o'clock. I show up 8:05. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got this in the bag. It's fine that I'm a little late. I'm just gonna go in there and everything's gonna be fine. I walk in there. The teacher tells me, actually, you're too late. I already submitted the
attendance sheet.
Yeah, the attendance sheet. You actually have to go walk all the way over to the main building, get a slip, and then come back. It was the most awkward experience of my life. Everybody looks at me and they're like, I literally walk in, get my stuff set up,
and then
homie tells me. Honestly, I'm not mad at him. It's not his fault. It is not his fault. We're not blaming him. It was my fault. I was trying to be slick and like act like it was fine. And
wait,
just,
how
like,
long does it take? For you to get to school.
15 minutes. I know that I have no excuse. I know I have no excuse, but I'm a really good. I have sleep 15? Problems.
15? Oh my god.
I have sleep problems. And so.
Real.
Yeah, so I have to sleep in and then I sleep in and then I'm late. You see how the cycle goes. But so I was late and I was trying to be slick. I tried to like go to the back of the band room, set up my stuff, and he was like, No. You have
he
to go get a late.
Oh my god.
Well, not actually, but like that's kind of the vibe. That was kind of the vibe, and he was like,
"That's
you
how
actually,
it was perceived."
That's how I imagine it looking back. But he was like, "No. You have to go back and get the late slip." And I was like, "Okay." So I like everybody's watching me. I can just feel their eyes burning on the back of my. I don't even know if they were, but I can feel it. I walk. I get the late slip, and then I come back. And it was I literally sprinted to go get that late slip because no way was it gonna be. Even more late than I already was, so that's my story time. Okay, I think that we've had a general get to know us section. We've learned a lot of random things about
us
as people,
school, life, just all that.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, you also maybe later if you guys have any questions for us, we could do like some sort of Q&A. We're working on getting our social medias up. We might just use the Varsity social media for now. Not really sure yet.
You posted on the platform, probably?
Yeah, so we could probably post, like, a little Q&A. So if you have any questions, we'll link
the
social medias.
Oh, yeah, you know, like, the Snapchat, like, you can, like, do anonymous questions?
Yeah, we should do that. We could do that, possibly.
Wait, I have some ideas.
Anyways, we're gonna get into our main, which, as I discussed earlier, is all about Stranger Things. So we're kind of, like, gonna talk about the seasons, talk about our favorite ones, kind of talk about the stuff in general, what we like about each season, what we don't like, characters, etc. Start with
Since seasons felt like forever ago, we'll just do a little mini
recap. Okay, season one. We're starting off.
Hawkins, Indiana, 1983. This is the 80s.
1983, yeah.
Yep.
1983?
Yep.
Okay.
And then, you wanna go?
Yeah. So, we start off. We have this, it pans to this scientist guy. He's in a lab. He's running away from something. Then there's this, like, elevator scene. He's in the elevator. He looks up. Homie gets devoured by some sort of creature.
Yep. And that's
very
how
scary.
That's how it starts
that's
off.
That's how it, like, starts.
How do you, like, is that a good opening, do you think? Like, to the whole entire series, this is the scene that's gonna get you into it, or it's gonna just... You know, boring.
I think, you want to know what? I think it's a good opening because it sets a good expectation of the level of horror that you're going to experience. Like, if you are very squeamish, you already know from, like, scene one that it's not for you and you can click off. I feel like it sets a very good expectation.
I know. I like it. I like the mystique because you don't, like, really see. Well, like, you, like, kind of see it, but you don't know what
there's
it is.
There's some suspense
you
building.
Yeah. You don't, like, it makes you want to see, like, what is this thing? What is this, like, disgusting, hideous creature? How did it get there?
Except,
why is it there? Yeah. Who is the scientist? Where are they? It just, I think it really sets up the good, like...
It's like, what's it's going on right now?
Yeah, it gives you good questions about the plot to be explained later. So I really liked that. It was a good
scene. Suspense, if you are into creepy stuff, or like semi-creepy, I don't know, depending on what you consider creepy, it like, I feel like it like, it builds suspense, and that suspense holds on to the viewership that it's trying to target, which is these people who enjoy like kind of horror-esque, you know, TV shows with, you know,
yeah, it definitely, I think it definitely scared me the first time I watched it. Because, like, I was younger, so this is, like, before pandemic stuff, so
it
was, like...
Wait, how old were you when you watched it?
Well, didn't it come out in, like, 2019?
So, we are now, so we have this guy, he was attacked, then we pan over to, this group of friends. They're having, like, a little Dungeons and Dragons...
Party, yeah.
Party thing. We got... Will Byers, we got Mike, we got Dustin, and we got Lucas. I think that's the four, right?
Yes.
2016?
2016, so I don't think I watched it, like, right when it came out.
Neither did I. I watched it way late.
I might have been, like, early high school, maybe possibly middle school when I watched it. So, yeah, I was definitely scared, but, yeah, anyways.
I watched it in, like, middle school, I think,
oh, my gosh. Stranger Things COVID years was the best years. So good!
I didn't get to experience that. Because I was in fifth grade when COVID was going on, so I was too young to watch it. Like, I watched it when I moved here.
So, they're playing Dungeons & Dragons, and... They're playing, and then
a freaky scene happened that, honestly, this, like, remember the scene where it's, like, the Demogorgon wins, like, in, like, the dungeon, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, they flip it upside down. They're talking about the upside down.
No, they're not talking about the upside down. Like, this is, like, the pre-scene. Like, we're, like, at the very beginning. This is before Will has disappeared.
I'm saying, like, they flip the board upside down.
No, that's later. That's when they're explaining it. That's when Elle's here.
Oh, okay.
No, okay, so there's this scene, right, where they have the Demogorgon, like, the Demogorgon comes in and, like I think...
Destroys
everything. Foreshadowing in that was actually crazy. That scene stressed me out.
Okay, so, yeah, like, I think looking it is back based, on that the monster scene, is based on Dungeons and Dragons. So.
Well, like, I think that it's more, like, the monster is a thing and the Dungeons and Dragons thing is...
It's
not really based on that, but they just made a connection between the two. Okay. They just, like, called this monster the Demogorgon because that's what they called the thing from their game.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the foreshadowing there, honestly, was a really good job by the writers, and I think that's probably... I love a good, like, Easter egg foreshadowing when you watch a series back and you're like, oh my gosh, I never even knew about that. Like, I didn't even notice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you don't know what it is, but, like, as soon as you see the Demogorgon, you're like,
You're like, something's not right here.
Yeah.
And then...
Because there's a reason the scene is in there, so it just, it's also a good setup for the future as well.
I also feel like when Will ends up leaving the house, like, after he leaves the party, that, speaking of which, this party is being hosted at Mike's house, right? In Mike's basement. That's usually where the four core group of people, Dustin, Lucas, Mike, and Will, hang out, right? That Mike's house. When Will leaves the house,
yeah, it's raining.
I feel like...
Because he had to leave early.
Or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways, I feel like when he leaves the house, like, you just feel unsettled. You know something's going to happen. I don't know about you, but, like, when I was watching that, I, like... Trying to think back to my little middle school brain here. But I remember when I was watching that, I honestly felt unsettled. I'm like, something's not right. When he left, like, something just didn't feel right. I was like, something's gonna happen. Especially
when they saw
the scientist go to Disneyland. I'm just gonna say that in case we get censored. Took a trip to Disneyland. They never came back.
Oh my god. Okay. You know, yeah, that's actually.
We'll do it. Yeah, we'll do that because I feel like that. Unalive is so basic. Anyways, okay. When the scientist took a trip to Disneyland and never came back, I feel like you are already unsettled. But then when you see Will Byers leave, I feel like you're even further unsettled. You're like, something's not right here. We just saw this scientist take a trip to Disneyland.
Okay.
I'm honestly concerned. So, yeah.
So after Will disappears,
to make this quick. He disappears.
And then his mom,
is
Joyce.
Like, oh no, what the freak.
So yeah, so his mom, Joyce, she's also like one of the main characters. So she reports him, his disappearance, to Jim Hopper. He's also another main character.
Mm-hmm. Very, very funny.
Yeah.
Oh! You're foreshadowing already.
Yeah, it was already, but anyways, we'll get
tension.
Back to that.
There's some tension there.
Not yet.
Not yet, but like soon.
But anyways, okay, yeah. So they meet up and then they talk about it and then they're like searching for him and stuff. And then, let's see. Oh yeah, so there's also like a B plot that happens like kind of within, even though
there's
it's like
plots
throughout. Yeah, throughout. And then they like conjoin together so this B plot is there's this girl who's escaped from a lab ran by Dr. Brenner.
Yeah, Dr. Brenner, the guy, the evil papa. Like.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. So there's this evil dude, and there's, like, a bunch of them. Wait, do we know this? There's, like, a bunch of other... No, I don't think we do.
You don't know this yet. Well, honestly, okay, keep
we'll
in
just,
mind.
Like, skip around. Skip around. This is spoilers already.
Okay, well, okay.
This is...
Here's the
late
thing.
Late disclaimer.
Yeah, and very...
Disclaimer.
Okay, random late disclaimer. This video has a ton of spoilers. I hope you guys could have assumed that earlier on, because, like, we're talking about a TV show series. If you haven't caught up on all of your Stranger Things seasons, do not watch this, because we might intermingle between seasons.
Or do it right now and come right back.
Yeah, do it right now and come right back. Real quick, just watch hours.
It'll only take a couple days.
Real quick, just watch some hours of TV and come back. But yeah, you should really
watch it. You might have
it.
To pull an all-nighter, but it is worth it.
Or, you know what this video could also be used for /podcast?
Watch it on 2x speed.
This could also be for people who, like, randomly for some reason need to talk to their friends about Stranger Things and know nothing about it, so they're trying to cram... Like, we're a study session, guys. We're studying. I'm giving you, like, the teacher teaching of Stranger Things.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I feel like I'm, like, a teacher right now. It's like, okay, here's what happened in 1983.
Okay.
Just kidding.
So, she's escaped. There's this girl. We don't know her name yet, but we'll find out real quick.
She has the tattoo number 11, so that's what they call her.
Yeah, but, okay, yeah. So she's escaped... And she's, like, kind of wandering around, and she's, like, she doesn't really know that she's, like, a danger, quotation,
society, or considered
to,
one.
Like, yeah, so, like, she, like,
yeah,
really,
she kind of does.
Yeah, she escaped, but, like.
Well, she kind of does, because remember, like, okay, I know this is, we're really jumping ahead, but in season four, like, she believed that she unalived. All of those.
See,
remember, like,
she
her,
took
like,
them to Disneyland. And yeah.
Remember the, all those, like, her, like, the people that she, like, the other numbers? Like, we're talking, like, number 3, number 4, like, all
yeah.
those people. Well, remember how, like, she didn't unalive them, but, like, one did? And, like, she took the fall when Papa came into the room and was, like, saw her with a bunch of, you know, blood on her.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Saw all these unalived
beings. Yeah, all these people
beings.
Who had been to Disneyland. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, she, I don't know if at this point she believes that she's a danger, but she, I
well,
think she has
like
some
Well, she's, like, escaping,
knowledge.
And I think she, like, kind of knows that she's being tracked, so she's trying to go somewhere and get some food, but she's not, like, too worried about it necessarily. She's, like, she isn't, like, she hasn't been out in the real world.
Yeah.
So she's just kind of discovering it. So she definitely is a little lost there.
All right, we're going to keep this. We're going to try to give you the short version.
Okay, yeah. She goes to a diner and she, like, she has some food. And then there's the guy who's like, this is weird that she's in, like, a hospital gown, whatever. And then so he calls the authorities.
The diner owner.
They come. They're chasing her. She's running away. And then she uses her telekinesis power. So that's what she has. But every time she uses them, she has, like, a bloody nose. So that's
yeah,
like,
and it
that's
takes
like,
energy. It's not, like, no energy to do it. So
yeah, it takes a lot of time to do that. And then
we have our little notes here, by the way, guys.
To the A plot, where Nancy, who is Mike's older sister, she goes to a party with her boyfriend Steve. Mm-hmm. And then they're all together, and then she's also with her friend Barb. She's really good friends with Barb, but she's like, she's also like kind of an outcast, sort of, like, even though she's Nancy's even though she's Nancy's friend, you know? Mike's older sister Nancy and her boyfriend Steve all have a party together. Wait, did I mention Barb? Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. So Barb is Nancy's friend, and they go together. They all go together to this party. Barb isn't really feeling that. She's like kind of outcast between the friend groups.
It's,
and
like, then, she's so like the odd one out. Like, she like feels as though like Nancy's kind of ditching her for this random boy, which is honestly, I'm gonna be real with you, Nancy. Like, what the freak?
Yeah.
Why'd she do that? I'm gonna also explain a little, if you don't mind.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so she goes to this party, all three of them, four, because I'm gonna be real with you guys, I'm not a Stranger Things super fan, I don't remember their names, but there's Jerk Boyfriend and Jerk Girlfriend, remember those two? Who's, like, Steve's friends, who are, like, annoying, and, like, they, like, encourage Steve to, like, write the bad things about Nancy on the movie theater, some bad words directed about females on the thing, and then it says Nancy's name on it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those two jerk people?
Yeah, okay.
So those two are at the party as
well. Okay, okay.
So it's those two, Nancy and Steve, who's, like, kind of Nancy's boyfriend. They have, like, a thing, etc. And then Barb tags along. But Barb feels left out, so she's just kind of chilling by the pool late at night. We already know that there's some strange stuff going on late at night. Barb ends up cutting herself.
I think it's like on a beer bottle can, or something. Yeah. Yeah, on a can or whatever.
Can or something. She cuts herself and she's sitting by the pool. And I think did she cut her foot?
I think it's her hand.
Or her hand. She cuts her hand or her foot, whichever. Anyway, point is, she dips it into the water. I remember that part.
Yeah.
And then we see, like, then some strange figure takes her somehow and, like, she, like...
And then, you can see it disappeared because you see the because she's like sitting on the diving board or something, and then like you see like the ripple of the water, whatever. She's gone
so basically
that, so she disappears,
and we find out later that she goes to the Upside Down, and she sadly takes a trip to Disneyland and never comes back because of this monster.
Meanwhile, also in the A plot, sort of, since Joyce, Will's mom, boy disappeared. Since Joyce is looking for him, she's, like, really desperate. She doesn't know what's going on. She's kind of going crazy.
Yeah, people think she's going crazy, but she's actually not going crazy.
Yeah, because she, like, she can hear him. Because she calls him on the phone. Remember, she, like, calls him on the phone.
Yes.
No, he calls her. The phone rings, and she's like, oh, my gosh, Will. And then the phone, like, short circuits, and then she can't communicate with him again. Mm-hmm. The second time she calls it. Never happens again.
Yes.
So she tries to communicate with him, and, like, she can see the lights flickering. Like, she's in her room with a bunch of lamps or something.
No, yes, you're right. But she has,
and
like, lamps.
And then she, like, asks him questions, and then, like, the lights flicker when he answers.
Yes.
So she hangs up a bunch of Christmas lights and stuff, and then people still think she's really crazy. But she hangs them up, and she puts
letters
under each individual Christmas bulb light. And then she asks him to illuminate one, and she spells out words,
and he would spell out words for her through, because in the Upside Down, what we know is that you can, like, manipulate lights, and, like, the other side will see if you manipulate lights, if you, like, touch them on the Upside Down, like a little splink, like a little, like, almost like a, it almost looks like glitter comes out of them. Like, this happens in a later season. You can see what it looks like from the people in the Upside Down's perspective. When you touch a light, almost like this little glitter thing appears. And on the other side, the light turns on and turns off. It flickers. So.
Oh, yeah, because when you touch it, like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Will basically is manipulating these lights to send messages to his mom. Doesn't he say run? And then, like, the Demogorgon, like, comes out. I swear
maybe.
That was part of that.
I feel like
that.
Maybe.
But anyways, he says something, and the Demogorgon starts trying to get out of one of the walls. Like, it literally starts trying to appear in. And she, like, she was, like, a hatchet of some sort? I don't know, but she prevents
it
from,
like... Oh, no, yeah,
from,
she, like, cuts up the wall and then it's gone.
Yeah, and then it like leaves and then it like doesn't come back. So that was an interesting. Also, keep in mind that it has been a long time since we have both watched this show. So we might get some of the smaller details wrong, but we're more just trying to do like a general talk through episode about this show. Anyways, so that kind of happens. Also, keep in mind, we also find out that Will's body, so they do a search for Will, and they find Will's body in a lake.
Yeah, and then Hopper, like this, yeah. the police officer, he goes to
the lab,
and then
where he the uncovers
his body,
yeah.
Realizes it's not Will, it's filled with stuffing, boom. Not him.
And so we realize that they're lying and that Will's still out there and that he's possibly in some strange dimension that we don't know about. Eleven has to use her ability. Like, this is when... So eventually, at some point, Eleven is introduced to our main group of four. They find each other. And so Eleven stays...
Yeah, and they're like, who is this girl? Like...
Yeah. So Eleven kind of stays with Mike for a long time. And then eventually, at some point... at the school.
Oh yeah, yeah, because she can communicate with Will.
Yeah.
So they're like using her powers. So this is
to
like,
try to communicate.
Yeah,
with
Yeah. So
him.
This is more like their friendship is building. They don't really know each other yet. So they're like kind of almost using her, but you know they're like trying to find him.
But Will's
main goal
like
is
still
finding
like
Will. Yeah.
Or not? No, Mike still like really cares about her though, and that will build later too. That's another point of tension. There's many points of tension.
So yeah, she can communicate with the Upside Down, and then she finds out that Barb is gone. Yes.
Barb has sadly taken a permanent trip to Disneyland, and it has been confirmed.
The
a lot of people go to Disneyland in this show, fair warning. She finds out that Will is still alive, Barb is not. So basically later, I don't even really know how this is connected, but this happens. So later, they're at the school, the four, our core four, and then we have 11. At the school, core five now. 11 has to basically fight off and eliminate the Demogorgon.
Mm-hmm.
But that takes a lot of energy, and I think she, like, has to, like, run away after. She, like, goes away. She skedaddles. Yeah.
Wait, she does?
Yeah, she skedaddles after.
Oh,
drained
yeah!
Powers,
okay, yeah.
Final energy.
Okay, yeah, so she uses up all her energy, and then
and
she,
11
yeah,
just
she vanishes.
She just leaves.
Yeah, she used up all her powers, and then, so
and
Will
she's
is
missing.
Saved. Yes,
Will
she's
is saved.
Missing. Will is saved. He's back, and the rejoins. Joyce is over the moon. The very, very, very last scene, this is, like, kind of skipping over a little bit in the middle part, but, like, they're having dinner. It's really good. They come back. Like he comes back like Christmas time.
Yeah.
So they're having like a nice little holiday dinner. And then he goes upstairs. He's like, oh, I need to go to the bathroom. So he goes upstairs. And he's looking in the mirror.
And then
he's looking. And then all of a sudden he like starts like really like wheezing, coughing.
And then he throws up a slug.
And then he throws up. And then there's... a black
slug.
Blob.
It's like a slug.
And then he sees it, and then it
moves.
Slithers and slugs away.
Slugs
and then
away.
It like slides. I don't know why the slug
goes,
moves.
Like that.
The audio cannot see that, but like it. Does
oh
like
yeah.
Crunchy,
oh, if you're watching
motion,
on the audio,
it does. Like,
it goes
a weird,
like back forth.
an inchworm motion into the screen.
And he's like, oh,
and
no.
Then it ends. And
yeah,
then it ends of, there.
Then
boom.
We end. It's like kind of Christmas time when it ends too. I remember that part.
I just said that.
You did?
Yes.
Oh
the
my
holiday
goodness.
Dinner.
Oh, sorry, my big ass.
Anyway,
all right,
by
so
the way,
that,
it's Christmas time.
Is that
recap season one?
Season
okay, so
one.
What did you think of season one?
Well, I thought of season one.
Hold on. Like,
let me get comfortable.
Because there are obviously, it's obviously probably
the most
to,
iconic.
Yeah.
It's the most iconic.
Yeah, maybe
like season.
But it ends off on a technically on a cliffhanger, you know.
Yeah.
Like if they were not to get any traction, you know. They could just leave it at that. But
yeah,
it's obviously, you know, making it seem like there's gonna be more.
Yeah.
So that was like the first look of the world. I think the world building was really good. Like it introduced the upside down.
I agree.
11, because 11 is one of, like, the main, like, points of the show. Like, because the show is going to delve into her powers more, especially in season 4. So, like, it's a lot of her... It doesn't show much of her background, but that leaves more for the next seasons. And, like, how far she can stretch her powers. Because, obviously, she's really young. So, you know, she's learning to use her powers in the outside world and not for science or, like, being tested.
Yes.
So, I feel like...
She's, like, taking control of herself, almost. Like, beginning to. Throughout the show, she kind of, like, struggles with, like, her identity a little bit. Because she's obviously, like, had a very strange childhood. A lot of interesting things.
Yeah, not normal. She's not normal childhood. No.
And so, I think that... I feel like the show often, it, like, grapples with her identity for part of it. And I think that this is, like, in season one, it kind of sets up... how that's gonna happen. It, like, kind of sets up issues between this lab and then her wanting to be free and then, like, the stuff in between that and, like, how she kind of almost, like, is scarred by her past, but then she's trying to move on from it and, like, make new memories with these friends that she has now and how that works, too.
Yeah, I feel like it's also relating to, like, if you were to be coming from, like, a foreign country.
Yeah.
So, like, it's very foreign. She's from a lab... Like, it's totally different from, like, owning yourself. So it's almost, like, cultish, sort of, you know, because they have the leader.
I agree.
They have the leader, which is Papa. So, yeah.
Which is a crazy she's like, name. Yeah. Imagine being named Papa. You, like, become a leader of, like, a science lab, and you're like, my name's Papa.
Yeah. So that's...
You lie, Papa! Oh! What's the thing where it's like, you look just like Papa, or something like that? Might be.
Papa, me want more movie. You not know that?
No.
What?
No.
Wait, you don't know?
No.
Oh, it's like when she's with Hopper.
Oh!
And then she's like, Papa, me want more, like... Anyways...
11, there are consequences to your action.
Cut that.
You are like Papa.
Cut. You're just like Papa.
Wait, something like that. Okay.
Okay.
So those are like our opinions.
Yeah, those are my thoughts.
Okay, now we're going to be discussing, recapping, you could say, season 2 of Stranger Things. Pretty crazy, considering that's what this episode is about.
Okay, so it starts off just about a year after.
Yeah.
And then it starts off with Will, and he's... Since everybody knows that he's been, like,
he was captured
and, like, he's, like almost coming back from the dead. So everyone's calling him Zombie Boy. He's getting kind of bullied. And he starts getting flashbacks.
Starts
getting, like, these visions.
Will cannot catch a break.
He cannot catch a break.
The homie cannot catch a break. Honestly.
This boy...
He has experienced more than all of us combined.
Put it to rest.
I hope that in season 5 he finally gets a
chill. He needs peace. Well,
even when he's chill, like in season 4, he's having like mental breakdowns. So homie's still not chill even when he's chill. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like.
It's sad. It is.
Like writers, cut the boy some slack.
Okay, so.
Cut the boy some slack.
He has these visions of this giant tentacle monster thing.
Yeah.
What is it called again? Like, the big... You know when he draws it? You said it earlier. The flash or...
The flare?
The flare.
The mind flare?
The mind flare. Okay, yeah. So he sees the mind flare in his visions. And then...
And he draws it.
A lot. That's a little bit later. But he, like... He sees it. It possesses him. It, like, goes down into his stomach. And then it's, like, controlling him. And then... 11, where she, like, we come back to her, you know, she disappeared, but she's back, and 11 disappears,
well,
but
no,
then
it's
she
not...
reappears.
Yeah. She reappears in season 2.
She reappears in the woods, and then she's, like, kind of looking, and then she's, like, kind of wandering around still, and then Hopper discovers her. So Hopper's the police officer from the first season. He finds her, and then he takes her in, and then he takes care of her. So that's, like... kind of where it is. Father figure, father-daughter setup. it's good. I like the dynamic.
I honestly love their dynamic.
I do.
And they're so funny together because I feel like, honestly,
he's such a girl dad.
He's had, like, I feel like he has a lot of trauma.
Isn't he? He's had a daughter.
Yeah, he had a daughter, but her daughter, his daughter went to Disneyland, and it was very sad because, and the reason why, honestly, the backstory about that makes me really upset. He was, yeah, I think he was in Nam. And in Nam, they used Chemical Orange. Or, like, Agent Orange. Thank you. And so, basically, what that did was that messed with a lot of, like, or he believes that this is the cause of her unaliving, is basically that messed with a lot of soldiers. And, like, it messed with their health and stuff. And, like, after they got back, and sometimes when they'd have kids, like, their children would be born with birth defects because they were affected by it. I'm pretty sure. Could be wrong on this. I'm not thinking. I don't think I am because I remember. I vividly remember this.
Could be creating your own lore.
But he was like, I should have known not to have a child because I knew that this would end up, like, you know, causing problems, and his child did end up having a birth defect
and going to Disneyland.
Yep. And she sadly went to Disneyland. It was very traumatic for him. But anyways, so
okay, so
now
she,
there's like this new dynamic
with Eleven and Hopper. Okay, and then she finds a box that has like all this information about her mother, and Hopper was keeping it a secret. Mm-hmm. But then she like breaks out because he's like keeping her in there, like, yeah, almost like, he is, like, a father figure, but he's, like, very overprotective.
And she obviously has fears of being kept in a place, because she's experienced that in the lab before, so she's like, I'm not doing this again.
He is trying to be a good role model, almost, or just, like, to protect her. He's trying to protect her. But, obviously, it can be toxic, especially, like, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't really know. He's trying to help her. But she does, and I feel like it's definitely, yeah, like you said, like, reoccurring and bringing her back to the trauma of, like, being captured and being held in that one spot.
Yes.
So she's, like, I feel like she's definitely rightfully angry.
And they
communicate, but it's bad communication.
And, like, obviously, they're human beings, and I feel like, as I like the dynamic because it's very realistic to what communication actually looks like. I feel like this show in general is like, obviously the plot is about something that's pretty unfathomable, like a monster.
Supernatural, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like the emotional side of it is really very accurate.
Real. Yeah.
It's really accurate to what life is actually like. Except for, like, honestly, season 4, the bullying stuff was not accurate in my personal opinion. Like, nobody's going around a roller skate.
The friendships, like, you know, back into season 1 again, but to season 1, they were, like, playing a game in their mom's basement. Like, honestly, I just feel like
it's just a play day.
Yeah. It's very real. I like, because, like, especially since they're kids, that's kind of the demographic, even though it's very, you know, scary.
Yeah.
But, like,
it's like teens.
I just feel like, very teen, very relatable, very, very, very childish, but not, you know, in a...
And I feel like it appeals to multiple age demographics, because we've got, like, Nancy, and we've got Steve, and we've got them, and they're kind of teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got, like, kind of more middle school-y...
Yes.
Younger people. And then we have, like, adults. So I feel like this show really does a good job.
Yeah, it appeals to everybody.
Yeah,
it
does. Appealing to everyone.
And the fights are very real. The conversations are very real. I feel like something that I would, like, you know, talk about, like, just if I was playing a game, you know?
Yeah.
Not if I had
emotions,
that,
like the excitement, the sadness, the, like, anger, etc.
Great acting, actually.
Great acting.
10 out of 10 for me. Personally.
If you are watching this and you were on Stranger Things, hit us up because we'd love to interview you.
Early seasons for me. Hit.
And we love your acting if you're watching.
Not a miss. Hit. Okay.
So good.
Eleven finds stuff. She escapes, and she, through the vision, she, like, sees her mom, and then she finds her, and she realizes that her name is actually Jane. Her name is Jane.
Yeah, Jane.
Lovely name. And so
And she's like really mad because she's like, Hopper kept all this from me. Like, what's why? You know? And so then what happens is she ends up actually seeing visions of another girl who also has powers. In her mother's visions, she like sees this little girl, right? Who also has these powers. She sees her. She's going into her mom's mind because her mom lets her remember in that scene where like they touch hands. And in those visions, she sees herself as like a young toddler, maybe age. And then she sees this other girl. And so after she sees that, she's very curious. She's like,
oh, there's other people like me.
There's other people like me. I must find them. So she goes out and she sets off to find this girl. And she does.
And she finds her in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then there are two new people that are introduced also, like, kind of steering away. Because Eleven has her own thing going on.
There's often, like, multiple plots going on.
Yes, A, B plot, you know, all that stuff. So we meet Max and Billy. They are step siblings. And they really don't like each other. Like, I think...
They have beef.
They do.
And they moved. So Billy's dad and Max's mom decided to move to Hawkins. And so that's why they're now in Hawkins randomly. And Max is a new student.
And she, like, the boys kind of like her. Like, Dustin and Lucas, they, like...
They're, like, very... They're all like drawn to her. They're, like, yeah. What is with this new girl?
Yeah, they meet her at the arcade that they usually go to. Like, that's kind of where they meet
up. And she beats their high score. It's been written. At one of the games.
Yeah, so that's kind of Max. So she gets kind of incorporated into the group. And then Billy is, like, really violent. He, like, he lifts weights. He's kind of like a jock, you know. He's that loner, you know. He's just that character.
Billy. I love him so much because he's so crazy.
Yeah, he's, like...
Like, he's genuinely insane, but that makes him so endearing.
Yeah, I want to get back to Billy because I think he's a really good character.
He's so funny, bro.
So... He was abused as a child, and that, like, I feel like they definitely kind of made him more of a bully, so he is definitely a bully at the school.
Like, his dad kind of, you know, was very tough on him, I'd say.
And then Steve and Nancy have broken up.
And now Nancy's kind of kicking it with Will's older brother. I can't believe Jonathan. We didn't even talk about Jonathan. We failed to mention Jonathan. And you guys know him. I assume that this podcast is more of like a general recap, general talk about, discuss Stranger Things. If you're trying to cram session all of your Stranger Things.
And maybe more.
If you're trying to cram session.
Oh, like, yeah, Stranger Joyce Things is dating knowledge, Bob. Bob, guys.
I love Bob so much.
This is like very jumping around.
But nerdy, like, but well-meaning nice fella.
Yes. So, we know Bob and... Oh, this is so sad. So, Bob and Joyce are dating. Bob is, like, a very nice guy, you know, really upbeat. Very good for Joyce, you know?
Yeah.
And, big spoiler, Bob goes to Disneyland.
And he got them receipts.
So, yes, he was... So, I feel like if he hadn't gone to Disneyland... I feel like they definitely would have stayed together.
I do too. I agree with that.
Like,
I love Bob.
Maybe, I don't know. Like, she has this kind of like a, you know, maybe small connection with Hopper, but it's not really blossomed yet.
Because she's dating Bob. So great.
Yes. We love Bob. He's really nice. But they go to sneak into the lab.
The Duffer brothers were sobbing while writing Bob's death? No. Why'd you do it then?
Well, no, because no, that was good. Bob's death needed to happen. It was. He but was like, meant
no,
to
it
be.
Didn't.
No, it didn't. I
love Bob's too
I love Jopper from the start, so I knew. I knew.
No, I loved...
Wait, why did they...
It doesn't really matter, honestly.
Okay, whatever.
Watch the show.
Okay.
Watch the show.
Anyways, okay, so they're in the lab. They're in the lab. They're trying to go to the upside down, and then they need to escape because the demi-dogs are escaping.
And they're
so
going crazy.
Like, so there's like a big... There's demogorgons, and then there's demodogs, which are a little smaller. Oh my god,
I think I know what happened.
Wait, what happened? Just tell it.
I think it's something like the demodogs, like, got... Remember, like, the tunnels? that were going yes! on. They were coming out of the word work from the tunnels.
Yeah, so they needed to just destroy the place they were whatever.
I think they needed to put in, like, lockdown mode so that the Demodogs would, like, I don't know, like, not escape and go everywhere.
Did they explode the lab? No.
No, they did not.
No, they had to escape. Okay, yeah, so.
They just had to escape
the lab. They had to escape the lab, and then Bob, he's the last one to go. So he's there, he's like, go, 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 and then he needs to escape. But
and he's like, they're so on the security camera.
They see him on the security camera.
So they try to like direct
they
him.
Try to, yeah, like, they try to direct him to escape without being seen by a demigod. If they catch him, he goes to Disneyland. So he goes, and then they're like, okay.
Hide in this closet.
Hide in this closet right now. Be really quiet. And then so he does, and he sees the demigod walk, walk, walk. And then he walks like right over the door, and then he misses him. Okay, so he's. Now he's home free.
He's right there.
And then he opens the closet.
He opens the closet. He walks out peacefully. He's chilling. He gets to the entrance where Joyce, Hopper are waiting.
No. As soon as he walks out.
He gets to the entrance. I remember this. Gets to the entrance. He's right there. Like right in the front main room.
Mm-hmm.
The Demodogs. Pounce on him.
No.
Yes?
No. The broom.
Not the broom.
Yes.
Yeah, the broom breaks. The broom breaks.
The broom falls, and then it makes a loud noise. It clatters, and then it's so quiet. I love that part, because it's like, he calls it, and this, you can hear his footsteps. You can hear nothing else. It's really silent. So like, the sound work is really good.
And then he has to run.
And then he steps out, and then you can see, in slow motion, you can see the broom falls, and it makes that noise, and then immediately you see, it cuts to the demidog, he sees it,
and he has to run.
And then he turns around, and then they're like, run! And then he runs, and then they all escape, they're all going, but he has to sacrifice himself.
Yep, and it's really sad.
And he's like, go! And then...
He, like, almost looks like he's home free, and then he's not, and then... It's really sad.
And then the Demodogs take him to Disneyland, and it is so devastating, so hard to watch,
but
so important, so emotional, and really adds to the story, you know, it needed to happen, but...
Okay, side note, Will is being controlled at this point by the Mind Flayer. It's gotten bad, like his little symptoms of the slugs and stuff, now he's being controlled by the Mind Flayer. So basically Will often goes in and out between the upside down and the normal world. So like sometimes he'll just like randomly phase back into the upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And so in one of these times where he did that, he tried to stand up to the Mind Flayer. And he was like, no, you're not going to do this anymore to me. But then the Mind Flayer, when he stood his ground, like took over him and got inside of like his body, basically. And then it started controlling him. And so...
We talked about this.
No, but we didn't talk about the shed yet.
The shed? Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, so he's being...
So he's being controlled, and his friends realize, like, this is not good.
We need to stop this. We need to figure out how to communicate with Will without the Mind Flayer, like, knowing about it. So they do it before.
Before he gets controlled.
Because if he's getting possessed... while they try to do it, then the Mind Flayer is gonna know.
Basically, what they have to do is they have to put him in a shed where he, like, doesn't know where he is. Because, like, basically, Will is no... Like, Will's, like, consciousness, his memories, right now are being overtaken by the Mind Flayer.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mind Flayer is basically Will. Like, they're the same person right now, almost. And so they're like, oh, but the Mind Flayer won't know where it is, like, if we just put the Mind Flayer in the shed. So they put Will in the shed, basically, to, like, try to trick the Mind Flayer into not knowing where it is. And so while Will's in the shed, they start noticing, like, he's tapping his fingers. Like, why is he tapping his fingers?
Oh, wait, can I just...
Yeah.
Okay. So this is one of my favorite scenes. Like, the buildup is so good.
That's really
They play
good.
The song Soldiers. Like the dune, like that. Yeah. That song is so. It's just like the music,
the vibes, so the lighting,
the vibes, the suspense, is
the camera
perfect.
Panning.
It's just
all
like
good.
Everything is perfect. Anyways,
That's so they pan over.
Yep.
And you see his finger, and they're like, why is he tapping? And like, they realize, oh my gosh, he's trying to communicate to us in Morse code. Mm-hmm. Because Will's still in there. He's just buried by the Mind Flayer. Mm-hmm. So little Will, in his own brain, is trying to communicate to them in Morse code. And so, yeah, it was a very good scene.
They put him in the sauna, right? Didn't they put him in the sauna?
Yeah, but then they realize that the Mind Flayer has found them. Like, Will's like, you guys gotta go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the Mind Flayer discovers it, and then Will's gone. So they can't communicate.
They have to, like, they have to leave.
So they have to find a different method. So
they go to the cabin, basically, and they perform this, like, almost exorcism on him where they make the room super hot because the Mind Flayer does not like hot temperatures. And basically it, like, leaves his body, and he's back. But they put Will in, like, the cabin, Hopper's cabin, and they, like, make it super warm in there, turn up the heat, turn up all, like, the stuff, and they basically expel, like, the demon out of him. So, yeah.
Is that, like, season two where she, because it says she closed the gate, so is that, like, the tear?
Yeah, she has to close the tear, so she closes the massive.
Yeah, she closes the massive tear to the upside down. The figure is still, like, kind of there. It's just out of Will. So the problem isn't necessarily solved. She does close the gate, but, you know, there's still, like, this impending. Every season, there's always more that you can do. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically season two.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Basically.
A quick summary.
Yeah, so, like, we probably skipped over a ton of things, but basically the goal of this kind of episode was more to, like, give you some, like, just generally remind you of what happened each season. Probably skipped over some stuff, but, like, some of our favorite scenes, some of our favorite events, like, things that we really, that, like, come to mind when we think about each season.
Yeah, so.
And so that is actually going to conclude.
Wait.
Oh.
Just one more. Okay. We need a little bit of discussion. Okay.
Okay.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Did you like season one or season two better?
Did I like season one or season two?
Better.
I feel like, honestly.
Because season one is the introduction to the whole show and sets up season two. Mm-hmm. But season two, you already know the characters, so you can really build more into the world. So what do you think?
I honestly like season one better because it's just so iconic. And because it has my favorite scene in it of, like, the Demogorgon, we're in Will's house, and, like, we have Nancy, and we have Jonathan, and then Steve in the house together, and they're all trying to fight off the Demogorgon with Steve's, like, baseball bat with nails in it. I just feel like that scene is so, like, when I think of Stranger Things, I really think of that scene, and honestly, that, it's just, like, my favorite scene, so I feel like that's gonna win me over to season one, personally. You guys might have different opinions. If you do, and you're watching this on YouTube, or if we're on YouTube, I'm not exactly sure.
Question mark.
But if you're watching this, then you should comment your opinions, your ideas, and yeah.
Thoughts, feelings,
etc. Hopefully yeah, not too many negative thoughts about us. We're not, I'd like to disclaim, very late disclaimer, we're not experts. We just kind of like talking about the show and yapping.
So yeah, if you get things wrong, But yeah, I loved season one. I think I definitely liked season one a little bit better than season two. Season two definitely has some iconic, heart-wrenching moments.
Oh my gosh, but, Bob!
Oh, Bob, I Bob, can't even. No. I can't even with that man. But,
that man but really season, took my heart and then smashed it into a million pieces.
But season one, like you said, very iconic moments. When I think of Stranger Things, I always think of the lights.
Yes.
Of the Christmas lights that Joyce hangs up.
Yeah.
So
I would have to agree with that.
Yeah, I like season two, and it definitely alludes to some things that could happen season
three. And, like, there's
three.
Some cool stuff going on in there, and there's, like, a lot of new characters, which I think is
really
cool.
Yes, new characters. Max and Billy. Like,
yeah, we didn't touch on Max, like, a lot, but Max was a really cool character, and Billy really.
We get more into her story and Billy's story, season three, season four, all that stuff.
Also season two, a little, but.
Just a little bit, but yeah, when she gets introduced season two.
But I feel like we get really deep background knowledge about them later. So.
Yes. But yeah, so season two, definitely more character building. Like, just
I would agree.
Just adds more people.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of builds the story.
Up. Yeah.
It builds the story, and then it just creates
more I think that honestly, it further sets up the story for season three. I think the peak season of, like, peak stuff going on is season 3. Because we have all of our characters, mainly. Like, we mainly have, like, all of our characters. And that's when stuff goes down. And then season 4, we add a few more characters and some stuff goes down. But I think that, honestly, season 4 is kind of trying... I feel like the goal of season 4 could be wrong. This is one of my predictions. That it's going to set up for season 5. Really. Like, that's
going to be, like... Yeah, I feel like the same thing with, like, season 3 is... Almost like the climax.
Yeah, I would have to. I would
sort of because like season 1 is
build
is the building and the introduction, and
season 2
and
then, we build
because
more.
We already know because like obviously you know Will gets captured and that's like the plot.
Yeah,
and then he comes back.
Yeah,
but once we have that set up and we kind of know about the Demogorgons, we know about the Upside Down, then we can go on to like a bigger monster, a bigger conflict, a bigger villain, enemy, slash whatever.
Yeah.
So we just, like, can build into, oh, what's the next biggest, you know, thing that they can fight in that, like, how can we have Eleven and have just, like, all these other characters kind of add their piece into the team. And,
I agree.
Make it... Because we have all these different characters with different personalities, different assets.
Yes.
So it just kind of adds those characters and recognizes those assets, and then we can use them in later seasons. Because, like, there's inner conflicts, especially with Eleven and and Mike. And
I think that there's a lot of
inner conflicts. There's a little bit, like, yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry. Young. I think that there's also a lot of inner conflicts within Will. I feel like a lot. Will has a lot of, like,
it's
coming
definitely
of age.
Coming of, yeah. So there's Will, you know, the different...
And I feel like there are
different conflicts, like, man versus, like, self, man versus society.
So man versus nature.
Yes, so I feel like Will is definitely Will versus Will. Like, Will versus himself.
Yeah, I would
And
agree.
Then Max...
I think...
She's, like, almost versus Billy, because she's, like...
Man versus man, yeah.
Yeah, because she's... Doesn't like Billy. Billy doesn't really like her.
But
she also,
also
is, like, building new friends. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, these different things.
And I feel like later seasons, it's more Max versus Max. Like, in, like, when she's struggling with feeling like she's going to be sent to Disneyland. Like, when she's, like, afraid that one is after her next. You know, like, in that moment. You know, when people are starting, like, Chrissy. And when Chrissy dies. And, like
when Chrissy goes to Disneyland.
Chrissy,
yes.
Chrissy, wake up.
Okay.
I don't like this.
Outro
I literally
song,
love that.
Outro song.
Outro song will be Chrissy, wake up. I don't like this. Why are you gonna? Why are you gonna eat?
Harmonize, harmonize, buddy.
I'm not really good. I'm not a chorus person. You have to harmonize with me. You have to deal with me.
Chrissy, wake up.
I don't like this.
No, that was bad. That was really bad. I shouldn't be in chorus, guys. I should.
Chrissy, wake up. Oh my god. Okay, I'm gonna stop now.
I don't like this. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all a joke. Also, we're not professional singers. No hate.
What? Speak for yourself. Okay.
I'm not. So- I'm in band for a reason. That is going to conclude part one of this Stranger Things recap. We're gonna do a part two.
This is good. This is good podcast length, I think.
Yeah. Which is why we made it part
because,
one.
Like, I really thought this was gonna be like 20 minutes.
Girl, what?
I thought we were gonna like, I don't know. I just
we've been yapping
have enough.
But for reference, we've been yapping for 1 hour and 17 minutes, which is pretty crazy. But
and 42 seconds.
And
so
43
we're doing
now.
Good.
But anyways, so that is going to wrap up our part one of the Stranger Things recap. If you want to see a part two, we're going to be posting that at some point where we will be diving into season 3 and season 4. Because now we've already done season 1 and season 2. So we don't need to talk about them anymore.
But yeah, overall...
General disclaimer again, we probably missed a ton of events, probably missed a ton of things. The purpose of this podcast episode was more to just talk about our, like, the things that stood out to us in each of the seasons, some important events to remind you of, and a general timeline of what's going on when. So yeah.
But yeah, overall, I definitely like the show. You know,
yes,
I think it's
great show.
I think you should give it a watch, you know, I think...
Yeah.
Very good.
You should. Young if you adult. Haven't watched it, then you probably shouldn't be watching this right now because we spoiled a lot and we probably got details wrong.
All of it.
And we got details wrong. So please go watch the show for clarification if we missed something or do some Google researching. But yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a good show for, like, if you want to really, really get into a series because there's a lot, yep. lot going on.
And there's the episodes just are great. Really long, too. So, like, it's good. Like, if you're a long episode kind of person, you're going to really like the show a lot. Yeah.
But yeah. Okay.
All right. That concludes.
Thank you podcast. For listening. Thank you for watching. Do you want to plug?
Oh, yeah. We'll do a quick plug. Go check out the Varsity newspaper, please. It's great. It basically keeps us running, keeps us funded.
That's our platform.
Yeah, we are both a part of the Varsity News as well. I personally am an editor. So if you want to say your role?
I'm a podcaster and I guess I'm a writer too.
So. Yeah, so I kind of do some editing, podcasting. She kind of does some writing, podcasting, etc. So please go check out that would be great. Maybe shop at the merch shop on the website too. We have some really cool merch. We might be doing some podcast merch maybe at some point if you really are interested in that. We might post like a Q&A if you want podcast merch, send us. But anyways, so go check out that. We will be linking all the socials, so go check those out. At some point, we might get specific podcast socials too, so you're going to want to check those out. But I think for now, just check out Varsity socials for any updates about podcasts, episodes, and things. I think that's really all.
Check out the QR code. They're hung up. If you know where we are, they're hung up around.
So. Oh, yeah, if you know where we are. Okay, anyways, all right.
3, 2, 1.
Toodaloo.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for watching.
All right.
We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye.